Prologue. Mexico, 5 years ago. It wasn't until landing that they could see the ground, sweating mauve dust under a smelt of smog. Mexico City, touches of beauty, struggling to harmonize with all levels of hell. Midas McKnight had been all over the world, and he hated this corner. The heavy air, pleasant-faced women with haunted eyes squatting in the rank shadows of polluted alleys, catastrophe lurking around every corner. Apathy and fear, the only currency, warding off curiosity and ambition. Though there also remained more than enough enticement for those of corrupt or gentrified blood, tonier suburbs and happier children, well hidden behind fortress gates patrolled by armies of well-compensated bodyguards. Black SUVs, the ubiquitous limos for the politically protected, and all cartel brethren. Midas had cleared customs first, pausing to scan through the grimy window into the haze outside the terminal. It all looked quiet. He turned to watch the crowds filing through the single gate from customs, pretending to look through his phone. There were five on the current team, the unit, their small group that ran clandestine ops when official channels couldn't be used. Philip Gillis was the next through, gangly and bookish, the smartest of them all, and a formidable tech genius. 2 minutes later, Kyle Palmer strutted through the one-way exit, sunglasses firmly in place, his smug grin holding court over his long linen sleeves and khaki shorts. Daddy's boy, always the asshole. The last two emerged, 20 seconds apart. Team leader Connor Brennan first, looking more annoyed and focused than usual. Finally, Mason James pushed his way through the chrome turnstile, hesitating a moment before moving slowly toward the outer doors. Midas and Mason had grown up together, the double M twins as they'd been called, the offspring of families who'd worked together for decades. All these years later, the McKnights remained one of the most prominent broods in the San Francisco Bay Area. Maxwell James, Mason's father, was their indispensable partner, protector of the less glamorous side of the business. Midas watched his oldest friend cross the polished terminal floor. Only he knew how badly Mason was reeling. Guatemala had been a fiasco, and Mason continued to question himself. The group walked outside as distant strangers, toting small duffels or backpacks, never anything requiring checkage. After reaching a pair of sweltering sedans parked 50 yards apart in an auxiliary lot, they slipped into them in prearranged groups. Brennan and Philip took one, Midas, Mason, and Kyle the other. The team preferred older, four-wheel drive station wagons, earth-toned whenever possible to blend in with structures and topography. Today, these primer-painted four-doors would have to do. Beyond factory tint shaded the two carloads of mostly white faces. Midas studied the room as well, pulling himself from the rear car to lean against the side fender. Philip stayed in his front vehicle's passenger seat, fiddling with his laptop. Brennan strolled to the picnic tables, followed by Kyle Palmer. "Mr. Kyle," Ortiz said, liberally spreading sarcastic charm. "Didn't know you were attending this party. My ladies still talk about you." "With good reason," Kyle said, never failing to brag about the strong impression he left with women. Strong, but not always good. His reputation was nothing to brag about. Ortiz spotted the formidable men hanging back. "Mr. McKnight, mi amigo, and the Sundance kid, Mason James. Still using the same cover, Mr. Mason. Should I expect to read a new dispatch about our backward little country with your byline in the LA Times? Maybe just a half-star review in the Third World Traveler," Mason said. Midas felt his lips curl into a half-smile. "Still a snotty bastard, eh?" Ortiz wasn't at ease with anyone else's wit, derisive or otherwise. "If we're done with nursery school roll call," Brennan barked. Ortiz gave a bow worthy of a samurai. Heavy canvas bags sat zipped up on the cheap tables. Brennan rummaged through each, holding up some of the contents and occasionally leaning in for closer inspection. Once satisfied, he motioned to the group, and they all moved to grab the merch and walk it back to the cars, placing the sturdy duffels in the trunks. During the transfer, Marquez limped to the lead vehicle where Philip was hunched over his laptop. He tapped his fire missile on the closed glass. "Good to see you, Phil." Unlike Ortiz, Marquez's English was perfect, with no lilting inflections. He ran a block of houses in an area of the city catering to all forms of kink and other questionable appetites. Ortiz was his boss, higher on the reigning crime lord's food chain, and taking a huge share from the houses along with pieces of many other such endeavors, as if no one could tell from the cowboy hat, boots, and gold buckle the size of a dinner plate. Philip responded with a middle finger, never a fan of middle-aged pimps or any of the other devious facilitators they were frequently forced to employ.